Welcome to The Gauge, a podcast brought to you by Green Gauge, the digital finance pioneer and first fully integrated financial services group, bridging the traditional financial services space with the new digital innovations in crypto assets and blockchain. In this series, we gauge expert opinion on the latest tech trends and plan to bring you a measured approach to discussing key developments in the world of blockchain and digital assets. Today, Green Gauge CEO Sean Kiernan speaks to Yuri Ferruccio, co-founder and CEO of Concordia. Yuri shares his vision of how ongoing technological advances can and will substantively change our way of life, and they discuss the Omnify concept, the term coined by Yuri, to describe the seamless integration of off-chain and on-chain functionality with a transparency-first architecture. They also discuss Green Gauge and Concordia's recent agreement to a memorandum of understanding and the announcement of a strategic partnership through which they will collaborate on potential business opportunities that leverage Concordia's industry-leading risk management technology and specific software development expertise.
It's a real pleasure to have Yuri Ferruccio with us on The Gauge. Yuri, delighted to have a project as interesting as Concordia with us. It'd be great to hear from you, your background. I know the Fulbright scholarship that you kind of landed here into a big world at an early age. Let us know a bit of your story and a bit more about Concordia.
Sure. You mentioned something from the prehistoric past. So you almost sort of caused me to start from the very beginning, but let me try to give the highlights. These days, I am co-founder and CEO of Concordia, which is a venture-backed, modular risk and collateral management platform. It's a bit of a mouthful. So I always feel the need to say, basically, we've created something like a universal account designed from the ground up to manage and collateralize all digital assets. I'm also part of Tibia and co-founder and partner there, which is an advisory and venture studio. So that means that we incubate companies and we're standing up a global fund of funds. Concordia actually came out of our venture studio. But I guess most of my career has focused on emerging technologies and investing. And as you mentioned, I kind of started out doing different things, actually researching things like cross-border economic flows between Asia and the Middle East, and spent some time in the world of public policy for an initiative in Washington founded by the Gates Foundation, focused on national security reform very early in my career. But I've always loved how technology seems to transform your life and the promise of how that transformation will grow over time. I've always been a huge science fiction reader. And in fact, one of my grad degrees was a Master of Fine Arts from NYU in creative writing. And it was in many ways the same interest in, how can these new technologies substantively change, hopefully for the better, how we live? Well, how will they do that? Maybe inevitably. That I think is always kind of at the core of what I really love to do. That's a bit about me.
It's a great background, and I've enjoyed not just our discussions bilaterally, hearing a bit more about your view about how tech can kind of move the needle, so to speak, and also a shared interest in science fiction. I'd love to hear one term that we discussed before was this idea about Omnify and how it can move, can bring things together. I gather it's a term that you coined. Maybe you could help us just get a bit more understanding about what you think it means and what it could move for, particularly Concordia, but more broadly financial services.
Thanks. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I came up with the term when I was searching for an easy way to describe one of our core theses. I don't know if I've succeeded in coining it yet, or if I have, it's probably still in the mint, since this is pretty early and we haven't really talked about it too much publicly. But I think actually one of your colleagues mentioned to me at one point that one of her colleagues wrote an article at some point last year called What the Fi? What the Fi? Which is obviously a nod towards a less than polite common phrase. And I think that article was referencing a real problem, which is that we're at a point in the technology cycle where we have all these new things and they're all siloed and kind of fragmented. And when we focus on them, we tend to focus on them in isolation. And so we coin all kinds of new jargon to keep track of them at best. And sometimes maybe to puff them up a little bit, make them seem more important than they are at times. And the ones that I was thinking about when this term came to mind were so-called TradFi, which is short for traditional finance, DeFi, which is decentralized finance, and CeFi, which is centralized finance. Conceptually speaking, rather overlapping with traditional finance, but it's sort of traditional finance on a blockchain, I suppose, or utilizing blockchain assets. Anyway, not on a blockchain. And having, researched and lived through previous technology cycles, you see some of these jargons come and some of them go. AI is an interesting one. It's really resilient, right? It's been around for decades. And it's always reinventing itself, or at least the definition of it is being updated to refer to whatever hard problems, you know, smart data approaches are tackling at the time.
Yep.
15 years ago, OCR was a really hard AI problem. Now it's just an API that you can access for cheaper, even for free. I don't think that TradFi, CeFi, and DeFi strike me as terms that will be here in 50 years. And one of the things that we think a lot about is, you know, how close are we to these types of approaches actually being used for the benefit of actual real people and companies in a way that affects the real economy? And so Omnify was something that we started using internally when I was trying to share this concept. You know, I guess you could say it refers to this vision of crypto rails and traditional finance rails being seamlessly interconnected into one financial system, just as, you know, you've got SWIFT and you've got ACH and you've got different ways, and you've got, you know, Venmo, different ways of moving money that are technically very, very distinct from each other, but your bank connects with all of them. These new rails are increasingly getting incorporated into the real economy, and assets are increasingly getting digitized. So that's really what Omnify refers to, you know, getting past the jargon and, you know, thinking about the real utilization and integration of these technologies into the real world in a financial context, first and foremost.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I think, I mean, one thing we've been very mindful of is often this terminology is off-putting to make it difficult for the uninitiated, so to speak, to get their heads around what we're doing. And what you've cut through is really just thinking about value and what to an end client actually delivers something of value to them. I'd love to hear, if I may, shift towards your views on the credit markets on a macro level. I know that one of the prime use cases for the risk matrices you're building in Concordia is around looking at how to make credit processes more efficient. Maybe first on the macro level, kind of where you see that credit market moving generally. And then as a second query, maybe where do you see innovation happening in that space? And obviously Concordia is part of that, but overall.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So full disclosure, I have to confess that I'm not a credit expert. I think here of friends of mine who work at places like Apollo and run credit desks as actual credit experts. I've come in at this space with a background in different types of investing and financial services, but primarily as someone looking to build something that creates value. And we got pulled into the credit space when we asked ourselves, you know, is there a way to create a platform that can manage risk and collateral better and that cuts across all of this fragmentation in the infrastructure side of digital assets? Now, if you go back and you think, you know, what does one think about when one takes a step back and looks from a macro perspective at the credit markets? Now, you see this gap between sort of needs and solutions, which always exists with new technologies. From what I've seen, you know, the private credit market is exploding. I think most people here know that, you know, IPOs are on the decrease. There's clearly a lot of hunger for access to capital based on compelling underwriting in a way which, you know, leverages better data and better data technologies, right, to effectively match high quality demand with supply. Now, what does this mean? I'm so obviously trying to wrap my head around this, and I'm going to turn the question around and ask you in a second, Sean, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as they say. But I saw recently that I think it was KKR and maybe one other very, very large player in the financial services world recently decided to create essentially no carry private credit funds in Europe recently, which I thought was a really interesting data point. The scale of private credit is exploding, but also I think the competitiveness and the power that investors are starting to get is also on the rise. And you have to ask yourself, if there's going to be a dramatic increase in something like private credit, for example, just to hone in on this aspect of credit, there has to be a catalyst for why it can be done better than it was done before, or else you typically amp up risk if there's no new efficiency to power and justify, you know, an increase in liquidity flowing into something. That takes us to technologies like blockchain and AI. I remember back in 2017, 2018, people were combining those two words in a way that was pretty disingenuous, really just smashing two buzzwords together and, you know, seeing if they would stick in people's minds. But I think we're at a point in the cycle where the infrastructure associated with these technology categories has matured. You know, certain costs have gone down around compute and storage and so on. Things have gotten easier and cheaper to do. And you're seeing more and more companies look at how can we utilize new approaches to creating ways of scoring credit for SMEs, for example, or individuals in places where they don't have significant credit histories or even data trails personally. And then, of course, technologies like blockchain can be very useful in terms of those data workflows. And then things like crypto, you know, can also be potentially useful. If I jump from that direction and I try to go to DeFi, I feel like I'm crossing a gap again, because I think in many ways, the crypto lenders that we've seen, the centralized ones, have mostly collapsed and have been an object lesson in why transparency without some sort of offsetting safeguard is very bad, right? We saw that with the Celsius, with Voyager, and numerous others. And then on the decentralized side, where you hopefully have some kind of safeguard in the sense of greater transparency, because some of the activities are done on-chain. We've seen people reach limitations repeatedly in terms of the progressive experimentation of how do we create a much more automated, code-driven version of a credit platform. But I always think of Paul Graham whenever I get to this point in the conversation. He always liked to say things like, you know, pay attention to what the nerds are doing in the garage over the weekend, because pretty soon it's what people are going to be focused on in the day jobs. And I think that there's both been an overestimation and an underestimation of some of these new technology approaches, like decentralized credit markets. They've certainly generated a bunch of excitement and grown really quickly and have fallen prey to various growing pains or mistakes. But the technology is maturing. So what I think is really exciting, and this, I guess, goes back to the concept of Omnify, is how can we take a step back and put a cold towel over our heads and ask ourselves, what technical approaches in what combination can actually create better ways of scoring credit, more transparency in the underwriting and loan processes, you know, associated with that, and do it in a more automated, cheaper, and more efficient way? Once you start actually getting those workflows created in sensible ways, then you'll actually have a why now for why we can think about how private credit could take over, you know, maybe a lot of what IPOs used to do, because there is just more fine-grained data about demand opportunities in the space that can be used to more effectively underwrite, you know, more accurate and right-sized lending and underwriting processes. I suppose that was a lot, but I think ultimately what's amazing about the credit space right now is that it's exciting, it's changing, it's transforming, and there are these new technologies that really have so much promise. And yet we're still at the point where we've got to figure out how do we institutionalize them. And I think a lot of that will start to happen over the next couple of years.
I mean, that's a very rich response. I think completely agree that the private credit markets they're nearly $1 trillion, and they didn't really exist 2 decades ago. I mean, they kind of came out after the credit crisis. And what we're seeing off back of that, I agree that the garages and what the nerds are doing are essentially what when the coalface of how do you use these technologies to try to automate that private credit market, which is really a gift emerging from banks almost reducing their lending books in response to the increase of requirements of capital. I find it really interesting that obviously, blockchain has been around, and as you say, AI and blockchain are kind of now coming together in ways that are real, as opposed to just being buzzwords. One area that I think I'm really intrigued in how you're shaping Concordia is to look at credit risk and how, as you say, you reach certain thresholds with what the automated solutions can do. Are you finding those thresholds moving, or are you thinking this is going to be a combination of thresholds with intellect from human beings? Where do you see the line moving? And I guess this is a moving feast with AI, but I'd just be curious to get your perceptions.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's one that's on our minds all the time. I guess in reverse order, we have not tried to put a bunch of AI into Concordia yet, because what we're doing is trying to create essentially a universal collateral and risk management platform that utilizes blockchain technologies where it makes sense, but also can sort of seamlessly mix and match on-chain and off-chain, kind of across whatever value chain that we're operating in, to let you optimize performance and privacy and transparency, auditability and reliability in whatever way makes sense for that use case. So you could, for example, have settlement and custody on-chain, but keep your algorithms, your user data off-chain. And until the on-chain infrastructure in a variety of areas matures quite a bit more and also becomes cheaper, it's just really not possible to do that in a fully on-chain way. And so unless you want to build a science experiment, you've got to figure out, okay, what really makes sense and what doesn't in terms of using these technologies. When it comes to risk management, for example, we were able to get pretty significant quantifiable advances in terms of capital efficiency and resilience versus shocks simply by creating a much more dynamic risk model, which started with, you know, going to the very best, most advanced risk models that are being utilized by the world's leading infrastructure for exchanges and clearinghouses. And I think for the first time, translating those with the participation of some of the people who help to build and run them into a decentralized context, or at least into a context which can operate in the decentralized world, is probably a more accurate way of putting it. And so, of course, you focus on creating platforms that do things like automatically determine collateral haircuts and automatically manage margin across price volatility and automatically facilitate orderly liquidations when an account becomes unhealthy. But of course, for things like determining the eligibility of collateral for the system, you can't just automatically do that. That's a process that has to be underwritten, and you know, highly trained human beings are required to do it. And so the engine that we have looks at things like price risk, concentration risk, diversification risk, event risk. We do a lot of automated backtesting, et cetera. But human beings are required to take these things and really, you know, do the last 20%. And I think there's different lenses you can look at it, right? So you can look at it in terms of how automated versus how much of a human in the loop is there in terms of the operations of the platform itself. And then you can look at it in terms of how do we actually get this out in the world and get people to use it? So for example, even though we've already built something that enables us to automatically manage a margin account portfolio of really any digital asset, it could be a Bitcoin, it could be a tokenized treasury bond, it could be a piece of tokenized real estate, for that matter. We've really tried to make it future-proof in terms of, you know, working with any digitized asset. We found that a lot of people, and from regulators to market participants, are, for example, still nervous about auto liquidations. And so one of the things that we've done is to make our infrastructure very modular so that we can unbundle pieces of it. And we're finding that a lot of people are interested in simply trying out our risk as a service sort of SaaS deployment of the risk engine, which becomes a much better, you know, hopefully more quantitative tool that would allow someone who's managing, let's say, a position like this manually to have an early warning if it seems like they might need to do something or to watch an account that could become unhealthy. Maybe it lets them alert their counterparty sooner and in a richer way. We're actually, you know, we're building out an alert system that actually accomplishes just that. And so I think you always have to ask yourself, you know, what makes sense to automate, and where do the humans need to be in the loop when it comes to the building and the operation of the infrastructure? You've really got to think about explainability to the regulator as well. One of the challenges of deep learning is that it's not very explainable. It's great at pattern recognition and automation, but you can't go back and sort of tell the regulator, here's how the billiard balls came together, you know, and unpick that. And that's still quite necessary at the moment. So we're very happy with a very deterministic approach to what we're doing. Although, of course, there are many applications for data science and AI, I think, as we build it out further. But I think that those two areas, building operations of the technology and then, you know, sort of facilitating the adoption of the technology, are both sort of iterative. There's almost like a dialectical process of, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, where you build something, maybe you overbuild and you build out a fully functioning, you know, automated platform, for example. And then you find that when it comes to deploying it, you probably have to start with something that makes people feel safe, give them a tool that gets them confident that your risk engine has efficacy, make sure that you educate the right people, the right partners, the right types of players in the market about how it works. And then over time, you know, you progressively automate more of the use case, just as you may potentially bring more of it on chain as certain types of on chain technologies such as zero knowledge proofs become more mature. And so you might be able to, say, bring data on chain that you initially wanted to keep off chain because you had to comply with GDPR. You might be able to bring it on chain actually. So the key thing for us is, how can you build technology which is very flexible and very modular in an extremely fast moving space? And then how can you be equally flexible and very user-centric when it comes to going and finding out, where can I create value for people in a way that makes them feel safe? And how do I chart a path forward on that basis?
This is the first time I've heard the Hegelian dialectic described around the credit process, but I really enjoyed the way you phrased also the understanding of resilience around risk. And I mean, one thing I agree in terms of the concentration on just using pure models is black swan events and the human ingenuity that removes from a process if you take out, say, the classic underwriter from the credit cycle. I'd love to kind of bring the conversation around to something concrete, which is, I know, something that matters a lot to both of us around SME finance. The creation of the private credit markets, I think, is something that is a direct response to demand from businesses to borrow in a way that maybe they're not getting as much lending as they would have historically from the banks themselves, the commercial banks. Do you think there's a way that this omnified concept, obviously from a client's perspective, they don't care if the money is coming from a bank or private credit. They just care that it's clean and it gets them the monies that they need at a good rate. Do you think that one of the primary sources of innovation is going to come from smaller businesses or larger businesses, really, in terms of using these new innovative technologies to source credit?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind are numerous examples of people making early tries at using some types of blockchain technology to provide SME financing. There are a couple of really interesting ones in El Salvador that I came across in 2022, for example, right? That's a place where the interest rates for SME credit are just absolutely sky high, meaning that if you can do something and charge them 10% or 15%, it's a bargain for them. And it's, you know, theoretically a very reasonable return depending on your ability to underwrite and navigate the various risks involved. I think, you know, intuitively speaking, opportunities are not equally distributed, right, globally. The challenges are different in different places. I would imagine that the credit markets are much more well-functioning and mature in places like the UK and the US, for example, than in many parts of Latin America or many parts of the global south, so to speak. So there's clearly an opportunity to combine better ways of alternative credit scoring, which you could put, you know, in many respects under the bucket of AI, right? Where in terms of what can move the needle there, with some aspects of what blockchain is really good at. One thing that blockchain is really good at is creating a global market. This is being complicated as regulation becomes more thoughtful and more hooked in to the crypto space. But in general, if nothing else, these new technologies are forcing us to think about how do we create a way for value to flow that aren't subject to traditional securities passporting restrictions, right, in the traditional financial world. And of course, the nice thing about blockchain is that they're really good at settlement and really good at sending things around quickly and cheaply, sending value around quickly and cheaply, or messages around quickly and cheaply. So what does this mean for sort of Omnify and private credit? I think for at least the next few years, it's going to be difficult to create an institutional grade solution that puts everything on chain with all the whiz-bang kind of things that you need to recreate differently on chain to make them function well enough to be robust to an institutional scale. Everything from how messages are passed between off-chain and on-chain context through things called oracles, which are still all more or less centralized, to the fact that smart contract risk is still something that is quite difficult to de-risk to the level of, like, let's say SOC 3 compliance, especially if you're doing anything of decentralized nature in finance, just to the fact that, like, there are all these restrictions in the real world, GDPR, I mentioned previously, and that's a big one, that are going to be really relevant in terms of taking a lot of technology which has been operating in isolation, like, let's say, Compound, the first and kind of most famous automated lending market, and starting to apply these approaches to the real world. Now, how could an Omnify approach help with private credit? I think having a stack that lets you do the things with blockchain that are clearly the lowest hanging fruit and the highest value in the lending market in many ways, which is to, for example, increase transparency or to make the market of participants much more global, is something that it would be ideal to be able to seamlessly combine with, you know, keeping your customer data safe, keeping your business data and proprietary data private, which you can easily do on AWS, right? But you can't do it on chain. So I think this Omnify concept and approach is almost as important, actually, as, you know, any specific stack related to it. But we have started thinking through, when it comes to risk and collateral management, you know, how can we create an engine which is flexible enough to go and provide more capital efficient leverage for a liquid staking token in a way that also performs better during black swan events because it is a more dynamic model. But if you take that and you add a little bit of, you know, other components to it, it could easily partner with, you know, a digital merchant bank or a global liquidity provider to bring greater transparency to a non-transparent sort of so-called CeFi centralized lending process. But I'm very curious, given that at GreenGage, you know, you're thinking about this stuff all the time, what excites you the most about an Omnify approach to private credit? And what would you most like to kind of aim GreenGage at in that context over the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months?
It's one of the areas I find the discussions with you so exciting. I mean, we've explored the idea of just getting access to credit for our clients. And we're not a big bank. We have a lot of demands from our clients for support with their business. And this whole Web3 approach that we're now kind of getting our heads around of having an open market for credit, where the world is effectively a balance sheet that we can tap into for our clients. For me, that's kind of Omnify in a nutshell. It's how do you bring what is good and relevant for a client and show them that in a systematic way, you can offer them solutions that are going to help them grow their business and also ultimately grow the economy. And I think Concordia is very much a piece of an unfolding puzzle, which for us is how do you shape the credit metrics and risk metrics around what is a constantly evolving and I think increasingly relevant private credit space. And that bridge between digital and traditional is getting much less straightforward. We're seeing crypto lending participants now give money for trade finance in the real world. I mean, I've always been banging on about SME debt for a long time, but the gap in the market that SMEs are not getting the money that they need to grow. If we can unlock sources of capital, and I think here's where the transparency that you're kind of rightfully outlining is so important, and let them and ultimately investors, be they institutional or even retail. I mean, that's a whole regulatory question to unpick. But if you can create a more level playing field of information, and you then could get, I think, some pretty interesting outcomes where maybe the banks aren't the only shows in town to give that grease in the economy to move and grow. So I'm very excited to explore. I know one thing we're going to be announcing probably before the podcast comes out is an MOU with Concordia. I'd love to hear perhaps in closing your thoughts on them, perhaps not just with Greengage, but where you see opportunities for firms to collaborate with Concordia, where you'd like to see your business in the next couple of years.
John, you read my mind because I was about to go raise a flag and ask for help. So thank you for teeing that up. Yeah, Greengage has been a wonderful partner so far, and we're very much looking forward to doing more with you, partially because you combine a conservative and very concrete business and business model, I think, with vision and appetite to look at how things can be done differently. In a lot of ways, you know, you've really been the driving force behind how we are starting to think about private credit, just as one example. You know, for us, you know, we've created infrastructure that can do different things, right? It's essentially an account, right? Like I mentioned, that lets you manage and collateralize all digital assets. That means you can also sort of zap value around across different chains without having to so-called bridge them. And you do that on top of a more dynamic, fully integrated risk engine, right? Which helps a lot. You know, we care about transparency. We built a dashboard so you can see all of your digital asset positions in one place, one cross-margined portfolio, you know, while letting all of the different assets stay where they are and be physically settled on their native chains, not complicating things. But all of this blah, 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 it's only useful if it creates value for users. And in a lot of ways, I sort of want to kick myself when I hear the term Omnify, because I feel like I've tried to eliminate three pieces of jargon by creating a new equally jargony piece of jargon, unfortunately. So, you know, that's not great. But you could almost say maybe Omnify could be replaced by being user-centric, right? And just making sure that when you're building and employing these technologies, you're doing it in service of someone and you're doing it in a realistic way. And so for me, one thing that, you know, I know that we're going to be looking for is, you know, potentially partners who can help us with credit scoring. Neither one of us wants to do that. I think one of the great sins that's been committed and recommitted throughout the history of crypto technologies is reinventing the wheel. Whereas I think that you're going to have to see much more specialization moving forward to be able to deliver products and technologies that are up to the standard of the real world. You know, and so we're focused on what we're building, which is, you know, a bit nerdy and a bit specific, as much as it's also kind of very modular and flexible. You guys are a digital bank. I would love to explore partnering with underwriters and other kind of interesting innovators when it comes to scoring credit in a way that can also navigate digital assets. That would be a big one. And then ultimately, you know, we've found that what we're doing, it works pretty well in a crypto native context. And we've really been excited to get a lot of interest from leading liquid staking derivative protocols, which are exciting because they're probably the closest thing to an institutional grade asset in the crypto native world right now. And then we've also found a lot of interest in kind of more institutional context as well around things like how can we use your risk model or how can we plug into your platform to bring greater transparency to what we're doing. And I won't bore you or anybody with, you know, kind of the mental models that we use for sort of where could this take us. But we know that we need to collaborate with the smartest, most innovative people, both inside the digital asset world, but also outside the people who would like to engage with it. And so we're very much in the wake of our kind of recent fundraise, looking for, you know, folks who want to build and explore together in a realistic way that, you know, creates value for users. GreenGage being a wonderful exemplar of this approach to life. So again, thank you for inviting me over here. And also just thank you for being such a great partner.
Well, it's very much mutual. And as my mom has said, the nerds will inherit the earth. I'm very honored that you brought the dialectic to life a bit today, also with the iteration of Omnify. Thank you very much, Yuri. As always, a pleasure. And I very much look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.